Okay, I got a new series to do today. The series has two parts. You can now put it up. It's called Heaven and Hell. Today, I'm going to talk to you about hell. In a couple of weeks, when I'm back in the pulpit, I'm going to do a whole talk on heaven. I'm going to talk to you about what hell. I want to share with you hell. What is it? Why was it created? Who goes there? So I'm going to share you some things about what the Bible says about hell, or about Scripture, and I hope I scare the hell out of you. Literally. That would be my goal. Yeah. Okay. It was never God's desire for humanity to go to hell. He has prepared He has prepared it as a place of judgment for fallen angels. However, since the fall of Adam and Eve, it has also become a place where people wait for the final judgment. What I want to do is share with you about hell and have you get a good understanding of what it is, and that whether you believe that hell exists or not doesn't change the truth. There are a lot of people saying, oh, I don't believe in that. So what? What does that do? How does that change anything? You know, there really is a hell. There really is a heaven. And I would like you to understand what hell is, and I'd like you to grasp and have knowledge of it and what God has planned for it, but just because you don't believe. Now, here's another thing you need to know about heaven and hell. You are not on planet Earth in a time capsule trying to figure out whether you do good or bad, and at the end of your life, the decision is made whether you're going to heaven or hell. You are not, people don't go to hell. People are already destined for hell when they're born. They get rescued from it by Jesus Christ. So we're going to help you understand the whole concept of hell, where it is, what's going on, how it works. And I would like you to know there's not one person that's ever been sent to hell. Everyone has been rescued from it. It's a starting point for pretty much humanity. But it wasn't designed by God. God did not want humanity to go to hell. That was not his plan. It was designed for the fallen angels. Hell in the Hebrew is Seelo, which is a place of the dead, or Seelo, which means place of the dead. In the Greek, there are two words that are translated from the Greek language to the English as hell. One is Hades, which means hell, holding cell for the lost. And the other one is Gehenna, which is the lake of fire. Both these words are translated by this English word hell in different locations of the New Testament. Before the ascension of Jesus, hell had four compartments. Most people think that hell is just one location. Most people think hell is just this place of fire, and that's all it is. Not at all. There are four compartments in hell. The first compartment is called paradise, also known as Abraham's bosom. This is where Old Testament believers who were following and waiting for the Messiah, following after the law of Moses, following after God and believed in God, would go on when they died. They did not go to heaven. They went to the place called paradise, known as Abraham's bosom. The second compartment is torments. It is for all the people of the Old Testament and New Testament who are not believers and they died on planet Earth. If they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before they die, you being that person, if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior before you die, you go to the place called torments, and you wait for the great judgment day. But torments is a place where Old Testament non-believers went. The third location is Tartarus. Tartarus is dungeons that have no light. This is a place for fallen angels. So that's the first three compartments. The fourth compartment in hell, all of this is referred to as hell, or the place of the dead, is the bottomless pit, also known as the abyss. This is where demons or fallen angels are being held for the last days, and it is where Satan will be put into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So what you have are the four different compartments that are in the underworld, in the spiritual world, the underworld, and then we have heaven. But in heaven, we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. Today's all about hell, and I know you're really excited. So we start with paradise and the place of torments. With your Bibles open to Luke chapter 16, go to verse 19 and let's get this story from Jesus. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. There had been a lot of talk whether this story is fictional or whether it is true, whatever it might be. But Jesus is telling a story and using exact people's names. Most theologians believe this is an actual true story that Jesus is referring to, verse 21. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Pause there. We're going to continue to read, but I need to make a comment. The rich man did not go to hell or Hades. He didn't go to Hades or the place of torment because he was rich. He went there because he wasn't a believer. The poor man, the beggar, Lazarus, did not go to the place of Abraham's bosom or the place called paradise because he was poor or because he had suffered in life. He believed in the Messiah to come. It is not your behavior that dictates your future. It is your choice that dictates your future. The rich man refused to hear the law of Moses and did not believe in the Messiah to come, therefore ended up in the place called torments. Verse 27, then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to them, listen to what Abraham says. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You have the Bible. And God is asking you to hear it. Let them hear the law and the prophets. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will there be persuaded through the one rises or is one is raised from the dead. Now, isn't it interesting that the people of Jesus' day saw Jesus do miracles, saw Jesus perform things, heard Jesus talk about the Father, was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, and some people still didn't believe. And so what he's saying here, what Abraham is telling all of us, is faith begins in hearing the word of God. When you hear God's word and hear God's promises, you must agree with them because that's where faith begins. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so we have in this situation an understanding of a place called paradise and a place called torments in one story, and it's all in the underworld. It's all part of hell. Paradise is now in heaven. Paradise, the compartment of paradise, still exists in the underworld, but it's not occupied. It's empty. And we know that from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, 8 and 10. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. We know that Jesus Christ, not by just this scripture, but by other scripture, that Jesus went to the place of paradise and to the place of torment. Now, if you remember, the rich man was able to look into paradise and see the people there and see what's going on there. That's a lot of torment. And so what's going on is Jesus actually went to the place and declared himself, King of Kings. The Bible tells us he had to descend to the lowest part so he could ascend to the highest part. That's going to be this next couple of verses that we have. And that what we know is Jesus actually went to the place of Abraham's bosom, took all of those who were captive, and led them into heaven. And after the resurrection of Jesus, people who die on planet Earth who believe in Jesus go to heaven to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. What we do know is on the moment that a person dies on planet Earth and they are a Christian, they are a believer, they believe in Jesus Christ, they are in the presence of God in heaven. Then it says in verse 9, now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? This is Jesus Christ going all the way into the place that is called torment and declaring himself as Lord. He also descended. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And so he had to go to the lowest part in the underworld so he could be given the name above every name and be given the throne of God, be given and be declared King of Kings, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Now we go to the place called Tartarus. Tartarus is another compartment in the underworld. It is found in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, in this particular word in the Greek is Tartarus. It is translated hell. And did not, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. This was a special group of angels that sinned against God and God's plan that they took, that God himself took and put him in a special compartment in the underworld. There are some other fallen angels or demonic spirits that are currently held prisoner in the bottomless pit and in other locations of the underworld that are going to be released during the seven-year tribulation. I knew this would be exciting. Judgment Day. So I want to talk to you about Judgment Day, the actual day of judgment. There are four different categories of judgment, or four groups are going to be judged on Judgment Day. Judgment Day is after the seven-year tribulation. It's going to be after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. It's near the end of the ends. There are four different categories. The first one is fallen angels will be judged. The angels that went with Satan and rebelled against God and tried to take over heaven, tried to make Lucifer the head of everything, try to make him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were kicked out of heaven, and on the day of judgment, there will be a judgment of fallen angels. They'll be thrown into the lake of fire. The second category that will be judged is Satan and his false prophet, the Antichrist, the beast, the different things that happen in the book of the Revelation, a seven-year tribulation. They will be judged and be cast into the lake of fire. Then after that are the non-believers or unbelievers, people who did not accept Jesus Christ and they died on planet Earth. If you die on planet Earth, if you die before accepting Jesus, it's all over. You're going to hell. It is it. Zip. Done. This is your opportunity while you're on planet Earth is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to know and said, well, gee, that sounds so mean. No, it's freeing. You are already going to hell and you don't have to. And it's not God's choice. It's your choice. You have to choose Jesus in order not to go to hell. So if you don't while you're on planet Earth, then someone will say, well, what about the guy that never heard the name of Jesus? You were already thinking that. I could hear your thoughts. First of all, God is a just God. God is a righteous God. God will handle it his way. I don't have to worry about that. I wasn't told to worry about that. I was told to tell other people about Jesus. Now, if you know someone who's never heard the name of Jesus, bring it up. That solves the issue, doesn't it? Let's start telling people about Jesus. The fourth one, the fourth category are believers, and they will end up in heaven. Here's something that's probably most people don't know. Non-believers will actually face the judgment throne of Christ. Believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They are very different. They are two different ones. And when I, on part two and talk about heaven, we'll talk about this. We'll go into detail. What is the judgment seat of Christ? The judgment throne of Christ is for all those first three categories that I shared with you. It's going to be these first three, judgment throne of Christ. This one, the judgment seat of Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works." What I'd like you to grasp and understand is hell one day ends up in the lake of fire. One day on the final judgment, God takes the compartments of hell and throws them into the lake of fire. People who have lived on planet Earth and have rejected Jesus Christ, have rejected salvation, have rejected the gospel message of God, will be judged according to their works. And they will be appropriately punished for eternity according to their works. People who have been more evil will have more evil or more punishment. People who have less. But here, why would you want to go to the less punished place? Why not go to the reward place? Again, your choice. In a couple weeks when we talk about heaven, you can hear how all of that works. So then we go, the phrase, you're familiar with this phrase, weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's found seven times that Jesus refers to the place of torment, the place of lake of fire, the place of final judgment, and it's there, and he describes it as weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some of you gnash your teeth at night, and it chews up your teeth. That's not what he's referring to. It's worse than that. Matthew 25, verse 41 says this, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." I want you to see that Jesus Christ made it clear the whole purpose of hell. It was created for Satan and the fallen angels that rebelled with him in heaven. They tried to take over heaven in a point of time, and it happened before Adam was ever created, and they were kicked out of heaven, kicked onto planet Earth, and God prepared a place called hell for them. This is what he did. He prepared a place for them. And then, so I want to tell you what hell is like. So if you visited, if you went to go to it, what will it be like? First one is eternal punishment. Jesus says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." Fire, there will be fire. Jesus speaks of everlasting fire constantly, hellfire, furnace of fire, worms and fire that are not quenched, repeatedly speaks of the fire that shall not be quenched and the worm that does not die. Can you imagine forever and ever having a worm eating you? You don't have to go. That's the good news. Four, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Five and six, outer darkness, where the outer darkness is also referenced to there is no light of the gospel, there is no light of Jesus, that you are disconnected from God. Could you imagine an atmosphere not having the presence of God at all? Separation and exclusion. Then number seven, everlasting destruction. You are constantly being destroyed but never dying. Torment, the second death, fire and brimstone, and the lake of fire, and then no final escape after judgment. There is a false doctrine of demons that has been going around the world over the past decade, where everybody one day will end up in heaven and there's reconciliation for everyone. Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, doesn't matter. And that just one day God will say, you've been tortured enough and punished enough, come to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches the final judgment is the final judgment. That's why they call it the final judgment. It's a tough crowd today, of course. I can't think of any jokes that really fit this thing. It just doesn't go. Revelation chapter 14. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead, on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Okay, we're going to pause here. People say, well, you know, if they put that chip inside your palm of the back of your hand or on your forehead so they can track you, then you've taken the mark of the beast. You're going to go to hell. When you read this chapter, you will find out before this event takes place, God actually releases spiritual beings called angels who fly through the sky of the entire world warning people, don't take the mark. Don't take the mark. Don't take the mark. Which means if the book of Revelation is declaring that there is going to be this whole thing going around, going around, going around, going around, that it's going to be totally clear. No one, not one person on planet Earth will take the mark of the beast that doesn't know what they're doing. It will not happen by accident. Cannot happen by accident. It will be because you chose. This has nothing to do with hell, but it has to do with the book of Revelation, because some of you are like big students of end times. And you know how this is my theory right now? It's starting to prove pretty good in the sense of where Babylon is destroyed and the great Babylon is destroyed in the book of Revelation and everybody wonders what happened, it gets destroyed. And everyone says, the United States, the Great Babylon. Who's the Great Babylon? What's the Great Babylon? Anyone on me? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. No? Yes. Only four? Okay. In my opinion, the Great Babylon right now is AI. And when AI gets destroyed, boom, in 24 hours, completely wiped out nationwide, the whole world will be astonished. Fits perfect. Right now, just a thought. I have other thoughts about the book of Revelation that you haven't heard. Go to verse 11. I just needed a little relief. And the smoke of their torments ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. You take the mark. You are living during the tribulation period, the seven-year tribulation. You are living that, and the mark of the beast comes. We don't have time to get into what all of that is, what the mark is, but it's a declaration of I am giving up God. I am going to follow the beast because I can't get a job. I can't buy goods. I can't trade. Commerce can't take place without it, but you're better off saying no to it. You take the mark. You will know what you did, and you gave up your relationship with God or the opportunity to have one. That's what it's saying in the book of Revelation. The lake of fire. The lake of fire is the last one that we're talking about. Would you go to Revelation chapter 20? Believe me, when in a couple weeks when we talk about heaven, it's a far more joyful. But here's what I want you to understand as we read the chapter. Is there really, really is a hell? It is a real location. And hell one day will be judged and everyone in it, and they will be thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a real location. You get to choose whether you go to the lake of fire or not. It's not because you are living, like I said, you're not living on planet Earth in a holding pattern to see how you handle life, and then one day God decides, okay, you're going to heaven and you're going to hell. No. when Adam and Eve committed sin against God and they took of the forbidden fruit, they took the whole entire human race with them into judgment. And you will be judged. And now God put a whole plan together called the plan of salvation, where he is now rescuing people from hell. Every single time someone says yes to Jesus Christ, the angels of heaven rejoice. Why? Because it's another person out of hell. You don't earn your way to heaven, but you do receive heaven as a free gift from God's grace and goodness. And then you say, well, then, you know, if I accept Jesus as my Savior, then I can, doesn't matter how I live, I'm still going to heaven. Come to the next part two. We'll talk about that. We'll help you get that straightened out. Look at verse 1, chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Remember, the bottomless pit is one of the compartments in the underworld. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. What we do know from other parts of the book of Revelation, for 1,000 years, nobody dies. On planet Earth, there are families. They give birth to children and to grandchildren and many generations, up to 1,000 years. There's not one death on planet Earth for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ himself is actually the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one that is the head of the government of the whole earth. The earth is having one government under the leadership of Jesus Christ. The church is alongside with him, and you are ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. There are assignments that are over the whole earth, and the entire earth gets repopulated from the destruction that happened in the 7-year tribulation. At the end of 1,000 years, the people who made it through the 7-year tribulation are still alive on planet Earth. And they've had children, and they've had children, and they have had children. And yet, after 1,000 years, the devil is released from the bottomless pit and allowed to go through the earth and deceives people and gathers a group of people to rebel against the Lamb. Stupid people. Verse 4, then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. We do know in the book of Revelation that there are 24 thrones. We do not know who exactly is sitting. We can only guess. We can have theories who's sitting on those thrones. But what we do know is they are part of the judgment day. And it says that judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So there's a special place in the 1,000-year reign for the martyrs of the book of Revelation in the 7-year tribulation. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now the 1,000 years, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. There's a lot of people who teach end times in eschatology, and they talk about Gog and Magog being Russia and China, and it's in part of the 7-year tribulation. Gog and Magog don't show up for battle until after the 1,000 years. Way after. 1,000 years later after the 7-year tribulation. But let's just continue to let the Bible tell us the story. Verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp, or beneath a breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Okay, imagine a large, large army comes to Jerusalem, to the New Jerusalem, where Jesus has been ruling and reigning, and they are going to rebel and being led by Satan himself, and fire comes from heaven, just crispy critters them. Verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and he who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Pause. We have found from Scripture there are multiple books. God keeps record of everything. There are multiple books, multiple books. One of them is the book of life. We also find from the book of Malachi, there's actually a book for tithers. If you tithe or not, you get in the book. We found that in the book of Malachi. And we also find out that the book of life starts with everybody's name is put in the book of life because God is waiting for you to accept Jesus. And on the day that you die or take the mark of the beast, your name is erased from the book of life. Your name is not added to the book of life. When you read Scripture, you'll find out that the book of life has already recorded every single person who's ever born, ever going to be born, ever will be born, is already there. And then what will happen is, again, if you say no to Jesus and you die on planet Earth, an angel erases your name from the book. If you take the mark of the beast, your name is erased from the book. And if your name is not in the book, you go to hell. Your name stays in the book by you saying yes to Jesus while you're on planet Earth before you die. See, Pastor, you're scaring me. I hope so. If you're a believer, there's nothing to be scared of. If you believe in Jesus, the sea gave up, verse 13, the dead who were in it, the death and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hell is a real place. Hell is a place where you will be until it's cast into the lake of fire where you will be forever and ever. He said, well, I sure don't want to go there. You could be watching online. You could be sitting here in the room thinking, I'm not sure. Well, you need to know hell doesn't exist because someone believes in it. Hell exists because God created it. Hell isn't there because most of the people on planet Earth think it's true. It's not a democracy. God made hell for Satan and the fallen angels. And people who have followed them end up there. But it's so easy not to go to hell. You accept Jesus as your Savior. That's what you do. And God reaches his hand and pulls you out and secures your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it's up to you. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? If you died today, would you go to hell? Would you go to heaven? The answer is, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you've accepted Jesus into your heart, into your life, then you will be a resident of heaven. If you haven't done that, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and said, I need to do that today, why don't you raise your hand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Put your hand up in the air and say, I need to do that. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, yes, I need to. I need to say yes to Jesus. because I sure don't want to go to hell. You watching online, the same thing. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to lead you into a prayer, but I want everyone to say it out loud so that we can make the people who have raised their hand not feel they're being isolated, to help them be comfortable. You at home can say this prayer as well. So let's say, follow me in this prayer. Dear God, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is your son, and that he died for me, and he took away my sins, and I receive forgiveness of sins and salvation today. I am born of God. I am in the family of God. Thank you for my salvation. Amen. Amen. Could we give the Lord a hand?